Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
God is with us. Why don't you just say that? Say, God is with us. Oh, ooh, good responsiveness. Keep that up all service, okay? That is, there's something powerful in that. Well, my name's JD. I'm on the team here at City Life, and I'm really excited to kick off this series. We need it. It's something we need. To be honest, this series wasn't even on our radar. We plan out the full year, and this wasn't going to be it. But just after lots that's been happening in church, we said we need to just switch things up and create the opportunity for us to just really kind of like take some moments, focus on the fact God is with us, walking through us in different situations. And so that's what we're going to do. This series is going to take us to Christmas and all the different ways that God is with us in different journeys of our lives, in different aspects and destinations and stuff like that. It's going to be really good. Now, you know, we recognize there's lots been going on in our world, and especially in our church family. I mean, if you're new here, there's just been stuff happening. We've had loss, we've had confusion, we've had all sorts of stuff. And in the midst of that, we don't want to, like, gloss over that. We want to reflect Jesus well. Jesus didn't gloss over stuff and pretend everything's perfect, right? It wasn't that. We acknowledge the things we're going through. We're ready today to just unpack our doubts, our fears, our skepticism, our hopes, our worries, our whatever. And we're just going to take all of them. We're just going to hand them over to Jesus and say, would you give us direction? I don't know what to do with these doubts in my head right now. I acknowledge they're there, but what do I do with it? And so that we're bold enough to say, as Christ followers, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to pretend that, oh, nothing phases us. Yes, it phases us. What do we do, and how does Jesus walk us through it? So that's what we're doing in this series and what we're going to do today. Our key verse for this series is Matthew 1:23. It's actually a redeclaration of a prophecy from Isaiah. And so this was written literally hundreds of years earlier. Somebody wrote this down, and it's funny because if you go and you read this in Isaiah, it's right in the middle of some other randomness, and they're talking about, you know, this and this and this, and all of a sudden they toss out this prophecy that people have been like, wait, you just took a hard left turn. What does that have to do with anything right now? But what was doing was planting a seed for what was coming. See, we know. We're like, we look at this and we get it. And so what it says, it's in Matthew 1:23, it says, look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And we know, oh, that's Jesus. Yeah, it is. You're right. You're right. Spoiler alert, it's Jesus. But back then, they didn't understand the significance. What does a virgin have to do with anything? What are we even talking about? And yet there's power in the statement that one of the first names we know Jesus by is Emmanuel, God is with us. Would you just say today, God with us? Good job. God with us. Man, when I say God with us, man, what do you think of? Do you think of like, well, how is God with us? Or when is God with us? In what ways is God with us? We start to contemplate that phrase. And there's different aspects of our journey where it's probably easier to believe God with us. Right? When you're on a mountaintop, it's not that hard to believe God is with us, right? I got a raise. God is with me, right? Oh, my baby slept through the night for the first time. God is with me. I got the best parking spot at the mall. God is clearly with me, right? It's easy in those moments. Like, oh yeah, God's got me got my back. But what about when you're not on the mountaintop? What about when things aren't going great in your life and you're in a valley? When you get bad news, maybe it's bad medical news or relationship news, or you're walking through, you know, different hurts or pains, or you're feeling anxious, you're feeling lonely, or whatever you might be experiencing. Today, I want to remind you that God is with us in the valleys. God is with us in the valleys. And I'll even give you permission to linger on the valley you're already thinking of, because everybody here, I don't know, I know some, I know some of the valleys you're walking through, but I don't know most. And yet it's okay to just let that sit there because God's like, hey, I'm going to do something with that today. I want to work this through with you. So you don't have to be like, no, I'm not allowed to feel that right now. I'm trying to listen. You know, you don't have to do that. God is connecting. I really believe God speaks to us through our thoughts. So lots of times when certain things come to the forefront of our thought, he's like, let me play with this for a minute. I got something I want to show you here. I'm going to connect some dots for you. So let him do that today. And I'm not implying that if you're in a valley, that means your whole life is falling apart. It might be. But for many of you, things are great, but there's still this one area where it's just like contention or just confusion or frustration or whatever it is. So we all recognize that we have valleys. And to be real, this has been a tough season for our church. You know, we just came off like our heart for the house high. Oh man, we're just excited for the building and everything that's happening. And there's this incredible momentum. And then just a couple weeks ago, we lose a very wonderful family member, an incredible leader. And that was really hard. That was a big hit. And then last week, we lose another family member here in Leduc who is a great father and grandfather. And it takes a toll, right? It stuff like that, it takes a toll on us. And we recognize that, you know what? Tragedy wants to rob us of joy and momentum and just get our minds on different things. And we grieve through the tragedy, but we won't allow tragedy to derail us. That's really important. And, you know, I just been lately, you know, I was just recognizing, it's like, oh, I'm feeling really meh, or I'm feeling confused in my thoughts, or, you know, some of these different things. And maybe you're feeling something where, like, things have been good and it's taken a hit. And you find yourself in this sudden valley you weren't ready for. It's like, we were doing good in our marriage and suddenly there's this real tension and I don't know what to do about it. Or, you know, this situation changed at work and now my job's kind of like up in the air and I'm a little nervous to go in tomorrow. And, you know, whatever it is, you might be right at the precipice of just heading into a valley and you're not quite sure what to do about it. And where is God in those valleys? When we look at what valleys represent in the Bible, they meant a lot of different things. One of the main ones is that battles took place in valleys. If you read lots of the stories in the Bible, that's where battles were fought. And you're like, yeah, I get that because I'm in a battle right now. And so maybe you feel very connected to that analogy. Valleys were associated with danger. You didn't just take, you know, an afternoon jaunt through a valley because that's where wild animals were. Robbers like to hang out along the paths. And so there was an element of danger to being in a valley. Valleys were also represented seasons of desperation and loneliness. But it was also a time of growth. And I just want to say this right from the get-go, that we may enjoy God on the mountaintops. It's good. But we really get to know him intimately in the valleys. If you'll let him. You'll get to know him intimately in the valleys. And so I'm going to read the scripture today that's kind of like the defining thing for all of this message in Psalm 84. And you're going to you know, there are going to be some terminology or things you're like, I don't know where that place is or what the point of that is. That's okay. We're going to get there. But listen to this, and then we're going to unpack it because you could just read through this and be like, oh, that's a nice little bit of poetry. Or, oh, yeah, but when you actually dig into what the psalmist, what David is saying here, what they're talking about here is you're really going to get into the meat of like, oh, I get that. That's my life. And so it says this in verse 5. It says, blessed are those who make you their strength. So the psalmist is talking to God. Blessed are those, you know, those people I know, those people who love you, who make you, God, their strength. For they treasure every step of the journey to Zion. On their way through the valley of Baca, they stop and dig wells to collect the refreshing spring water. And the early rains fill the pools. They journey from place to place, gaining strength along the way until they meet God in Zion. So I want to unpack that today because there's a lot of really powerful stuff in there. And one of the first things you're like, what the heck is a valley of Baca? You know, back then, every word, I believe every word in the Bible has really significant meaning, especially if you actually like dig into it. And like, what does that word mean? And nowadays with Google, it's easy. What does valley of Baca represent? And it'll unpack it and you don't have to be a biblical scholar anymore. But the valley of Baca most likely related to a special type of tree in that area, and it would ooze out sap. And so it would always look like it was crying. And so they called them weeper trees. And so in other translations, it would refer to the Valley of Baca. It would say the Valley of Tears, the Valley of Sorrow, the Valley of Pain, the Valley of Loss. You know, basically a sucky place you don't want to be, right? But that's why the psalmist starts that section in verse 5. Blessed are those who make you their strength. So I know what's about to come. And so let's just start by saying, if we can focus on him, that's going to set us up for everything else that's coming after this in a big way. And if, you know, today, maybe you're here and you're not a follower of Christ, you don't know God intimately, you've had these thoughts, and we all have, thoughts like, I've had enough, I can't do anymore, I'm overwhelmed, I'm exhausted. The thing is, if you're not a follower of Christ, if you don't have that relationship with Jesus, then what you have is literally all you have. And I say that in a sense that, you know, there's an element of hopelessness there. Because if it's all on you, when you run out of you strength, you got nothing left. You're right. There is no hope. But when you have hope in Jesus, it opens the door to so much more hope, so much more purpose. I've still got direction. There's something about a relationship with Jesus that just unlocks new possibilities where it seems like the door should be shut. Would you agree? Is that true? For many of you, you'd be like, absolutely. That's why I'm still sitting here today. So if you're in the middle of a valley right now, you know, I want to encourage you today. You have access to very real, ever-present power of a good God. You can tap into someone who is available and ready to assist you in your time of need, to walk with you in every situation. Because the verse doesn't say, blessed are those who make it on their own. The verse doesn't say, blessed are those who pull themselves up. Blessed are those who are really determined. You go. Doesn't say that. Our strength is found in him. And the reality is, one of the big problems in our world is that we almost idolize like that spirit of independence, right? It's like, I got this. I don't need anybody. I got this. And that's messed up. And that's not going to get you anywhere. It sounds good on the surface, but it's not. It's not. Blessed are you when you realize you are dependent and you have greater power than what you think you have on your own. That's blessed. You have greater power than yourself. Some of you today, you just got to lean into it. And you got to admit, maybe for the first time, I don't have what it takes on my own. I need God. I need his presence. I need his strength. I can't do this on my own. Even if it looks like you're doing it on your own. I'm not saying you're laying on the ground like, okay, uncle, yes, I can't do this on my own. I'm talking like, life is still walking pretty good. You're walking through this, but you still recognize stuff. You need to still be able to come to a place where it's like, I can't do this on my own. Not properly. Not well. I need God in every situation. And today, focusing specifically on those valleys. In the New Living Translation, in verse 5 of this section, it talks about our journey's final destination. We heard it described as Zion, and this version says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who've set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And you're like, cool, I don't know if I'll ever go to the Holy Land. What does that have to do with me? Again, what it represents, Jerusalem was a city of refuge. And so he's saying, hey, you're going to be going through some stuff, some valleys, but we're on a pilgrimage. We're on a journey to refuge, to peace, to strength, to healing, to safety, to security, to breathing room. Doesn't that sound good? Anybody use a little bit of that? Yeah? We're on a journey. One commentary says, to get to the city of refuge, you have to travel through the Valley of Tears. Yay! Sometimes we got to push through a little bit of pain to get to the presence of God's goodness. See, the valley is the pathway to the place of peace. The valley, when you come to that valley in your life, whatever that looks like, there's a pathway to that place of peace, that city of refuge. It's there whether you can see it or not. It might be a small valley and you're like, oh yeah, I know where I'm going. I know what I'm looking for. This might suck for a bit, but I'll get there. Or maybe it's like, I got to walk through this. I don't even know what the end's going to look like. Everything's falling apart in my marriage. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know what it looks like on the other side. And yet there is another side. There is something, and the valley is the pathway to the place of peace. And if it sucks and it's hard, we got to ask ourselves, what's actually going to get us there? You can't just be like, all right, let's do this, right? It's like, there's no way I can cross this valley on my own, by my own strength. I don't even want to start. And yet God says, would you trust me enough to start? I've got a plan. And we look again at that verse 5. It says, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord. We've established that. Okay, my strength's coming from the Lord. What do I do about this? Who've set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Everyone just say, set your mind. Look at the person beside you. Say, set your mind. Set your mind. What we think about matters. What we're setting our mind on matters, carries weight, and is part of the solution. Paul, one of the early church builders, he said to a church in the Colossian church, he said, set your mind on things above, not on things below. Then he went and he told the Philippian church, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy or admirable or lovely, think about such things. He's putting weight on the fact that we can set our mind on what we need. And it doesn't have to be situational. You see, your current situation may be in the valley, but you can still set your mind on the God above. You can set your mind on a God who's right here with you, walking it through, and has everything you need. Your heart might be racing, but your mind is set. Your soul might be aching, but your mind is set. Your emotions might be out of control, but your mind can still be set on what you need, on who you need. You can do that. That's the beautiful thing. It's a choice. Your situations aren't always a choice, right? Our situations are not always our. We pick a lot of them, to be fair. It's like, I'm in this because I made this stupid decision. But sometimes that's not the case. So regardless of how you got in the situation, you get to choose where you set your mind. You can't play the card that says, well, I'm in this situation. I just can't think about anything else. It's like, yes, you can. Every single one of us can. Every single one of us. We can do that. There may be real tragedies in the valley, but my mind is set on the goodness of God, and I get to pick because God is with me. God is for me. God is, or greater is the one who is in me than he who is in the world. My God is going before me. He's making a way for me. His spirit gives me strength when I am weak. His word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. My God is with me. With me. In Psalm, another Psalm, 23, you've probably heard this one. This is like, if you just need some peace, it's like, just read this and just like, turn on some like, you know, like spa music, like, and there's like the streams. I wonder how that sounds online. I don't know. Okay. It's terrible. Oh, okay. Good. Good. It says this. It says, God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. And all of us are like, I don't think I could say that. And I don't know that David was saying it because he literally didn't need a thing. I think he's making a statement. In the midst of what's going on in my world, God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. I think you just need to say it. I don't need a thing. And it's okay if you don't believe it and you call yourself a dirty liar. Saying it is still a good thing. I don't need a thing, right? I don't need a thing. You've bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath. Oh. And send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Man, I get it. I get those feelings just like you. And even recently, I remember sitting down with my wife, Joy, and be like, Joy, like my heart is going really fast, and I've been feeling this way or this and sad about this or angry about this. And like, do you know what does anxiety feel like? I'm not 100% sure if I'm like having like a panic attack or what is this? And we just kind of talked about it. And then she was just like, you need to call someone. I was like, yes. And so I called one of my pastor friends who's not connected to everything going on here. And I said, would you just like pray for me and encourage me, because I don't really know what to do with all this. Anybody ever feel like that? You just don't know what to do with everything. And you know, that he was the one who said from that verse there, he's like, you got to focus on this. True to your word, you will let me catch my breath. And he's like, you just got to take a breath. You got to take a moment. You got to recognize that God really is walking with you through this. And we need to tune into that and recognize that. That I have hope that God is with me. He lets me catch my breath. He's got a plan for me and he can keep me going. I may be in the valley, but come on, church, I'm not staying there. I'm just passing through. I'm just passing through this valley. This is not the end for me. I might feel like I'm in a dark place, but this is not my home. I may be in a difficult time, but there is something waiting for me on the other side. I may be hurting right now, but I am not going to be hurting forever. There is an end. There is something on the other side. I don't know exactly what it is. Disclaimer, lots of times we don't know what's waiting for us. We just got to trust that whatever it is, if God's got it for us, it's good, even if it's not the answer we were hoping for. You might make it through the whole valley and just be like, oh, that's different than what I thought I was going to end up with. Oh, I hated walking through this season of life and this situation that I faced and this loss and this whatever. And I didn't expect that it would look like this on the other side. But now that I'm here, okay, yeah, I see it. I see what you're doing, God. And I am not afraid because you walk by my side. God is with me. Say it again. God is with me. God is with me. We just got to remind ourselves. And I know that you want out of this valley, right? And you want to take an alternate route. Who wouldn't? You're right at the precipice or you're starting down the slope and you're like, wait. Is there like a path B? Can I like go around this somehow? We want to, right? And yet God would say, no, you have to walk through this if you want to get to the other side. It's important for us. We can't go around. We have to go through. Even if you're feeling drained and you're like, I don't know if I can take another step. God is saying, come on. And look again at what this says. And here's the secret, because we get it. I get it too. We want another path. I don't know if I can make it through this valley ahead. I'm with you. There's valleys where it's like, I don't know how to do this. Okay, what strength do I have? Let me do a self-check or what do I got from God? Okay, ready? And let's just see how far I can make it before I collapse. Rawr, right? Good luck, cameraman. All right. So, you know, like you could just like go for it, but God's like, wait, I actually have a plan through this journey. And we already read it. Easter egg. Let's see if we can find it. Blessed are those who make you their strength, for they treasure every step of the journey to Zion. On their way through the Valley of Baca, they stop and dig wells to collect the refreshing spring water, and the early rains fill the pools. If you are feeling dry and exhausted and you don't think you can make it, you know what you need to do? You need to dig a well. I want you to say, dig a well. I'll explain what I mean. Just wait. We need to dig some wells in our lives. You got to create a hole, a container for just like I said, for those springs to come up. You can't find those hidden springs if you don't dig for them. You can't get the rain if you don't create a place for them to come. See, that's the big thing in our life, is that rain can't fill a well that you haven't dug. You want God's refreshing in your life? You got to dig a well. He can't just dump it if you're not ready to grab it. And he's saying, hey, would you do this? Would you take some time and do a little bit of digging? And I'll show up and I'll provide what you need on the journey. Yes, you're going through a valley. No, I will not take you around. Yes, you have to walk through this, but I got a plan. I've got a plan. And that's faith. That's what sets us apart from hopeless people who get partway through and are just like, I'm done. I got nothing left. It's way too far to the other side still. I'm just going to lay down and die here. And I don't blame them. On their own strength, they've depleted everything they have. And yet God says, it's different. If you're willing, right when you feel you're at your least, where you got nothing left, just dig a little well and watch what I can do. Jesus did this all the time. He would tell people to take first steps all the time. You know, it's like the person with the withered hand, he's like, yeah, I'll heal you, but first you have to put out your hand, which was not culturally acceptable and to like reveal that and all that. And he's like, you got to put out your hand, take that step, and then yes, I will heal you. I mean, the Bible clearly paints this incredible picture of our relationship with God in James 4:8. Come near to God And he will what? He will come near to you. You come near to God, he'll come near to you. Even if your coming near is one pathetic, measly, drained step, I can take one step towards God. He will take a universal step towards you. And he says, I'm right here with you. But would you come to me? Because I want to walk this with you. So start digging. Start digging. I believe there's someone here today, you haven't sensed the presence of God in a long time. You know what it feels like. You remember being refreshed in God's presence, and it's been a long time. And I'm believing today, you just need to dig a new well. You need to dig in a new way. You need to do something new. And it looks like this. It's digging into God's word. It's when you're feeling you got nothing left. That's when you dig into God's word. You do that. That's the act of digging your well. Okay, I'm going to get in God's word. I'm going to jump into Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you where there is a dry and weary land, where there is no water. Come on, in a moment like that, I'm digging a well. God, would you do something here? I don't know what to do. So I'm going to dive into your word. It feels dusty and dry for me to even open this book. I don't know what to expect. I don't even have a good attitude right now, but I'm still digging a well so that you can show up. Or I'm going to carve out some time. I'm going to carve out some time in my week, in my day, to pray. Because I'm not going to just try and do this on my own across. I'm going to take time in my busy day. Oh, I don't have time in my day. Oh, I do not have time. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's like saying, I will do everything by my own strength and manage to somehow pathetically make it across and not do a great job. And when I get to the other side, then I'll pray about it. It's already done. This is when you need it in the moment to say, I don't have the time. I am overwhelmed. And yet I'm going to pause and I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe that God is doing something good in me. I am carving out time. I am digging into him. I'm digging the well. Everyone say, dig the well. I'm digging the well so that God can do what he needs to keep me going. And that's what we're going to do. And once you've done that, man, we sang the song today, Psalm 46:10, be still. And know that I am God. Just be still and say, okay, God, I've dug a well. I'm waiting. I don't know what to do. I got a lot I should do, but I'm not worried about that right now. I'm just being still in your presence. God, would you do something fresh in me? I'm believing that for people here today. As you take that time that you're gonna get new refreshing where you have not had refreshing. You're digging a new well right now. Some of you dug a new well the moment you walked through this door because you didn't know if you could walk through this door. And you were digging a well saying, I'll make some room in my schedule on a Sunday to come and see if God can do what I'm hoping he can do. We're digging some wells. We're digging some wells. If we look at this one more time to wrap this up, goes through all of these things. Blessed are you who make you their strength. They're on this journey through they're digging some wells. And then it says in verse 7, they journey from place to place, gaining strength along the way until they meet God in Zion, in a place of refuge. They journey from place to place, gaining strength along the way. You know what you need to do today? It is not about saying, I'm going to conquer this entire valley in one day. Let's do this. No, it's saying, I'm in a valley. I'm going to walk as far as I can by the strength you've given me, God. And when I get as far as I can go, I don't know what else to say to this person. I don't know what else to do with this work situation. I don't know what else is going on. All I know is when I get here, I'm going to dig another well. I'm going to wait. I'm going to let you refresh me. And then I'm going to keep going. Journey by journey, step by step, day by day. There is no such thing as the perfect 100% full up Christian ready to tackle the day. We're going to take whatever we can get and be fueled up however we can. And we're going to say, I got 3% today. So I'm going to go 3% as far as I can with God's help. And when I get there, I'm just going to get filled up. Oh, now I got 5%. I'm going to go 5% tomorrow. That is all it is. And here's the thing. The more that you begin to conquer the valleys and get to the other side, you know what? I can't promise your valleys will be easier. I mean, God said, you're going to have valleys, but he did say he'll walk them through with you. And even though the valleys might even get harder, you are growing in your ability to know, I can do this by God's strength. You come up to that next valley and you're like, oh shoot, this one's even bigger. But wait, think I know what to do. And I'm going to walk as far as I can, and I'm going to do whatever I can by the power God's given me, and I'm going to dig a well, and I'll get what I need to make it through. And one day, it might be short, it might be long, but I'm going to come to that other side. And even if I don't know what's on the other side, I know God's best is what I need. Can we stand up today? I'm believing for people here today. You just dug some wells yourself. God's going to fill you in a brand new way. And I believe this is something we don't just do on a Sunday and that's it. This is not the place to dig wells. It's tomorrow at work. It's in your family. It's as we head into the Christmas season and the things we're wondering about, the valleys we're going to face. That's where God is going to refresh us and do something brand new. Brand new in our lives. And I'm just believing that for you today. He's got something so good for you. And I believe he's ready. As we're open and willing to just dig out some new wells, I'm going to pull out my Bible. I'm going to start a plan on my phone on YouVersion, or I'm gonna pray with someone else, or maybe I haven't even prayed in a long time. Oh yeah, maybe that's why I'm feeling so alone. God, I'm gonna dig some wells. I'm gonna open the door because they are. It's not because that's the right religious response. Do you hear me? I hope you hear me on that. It's not that, oh, if I read my Bible and pray, God will love me and take care of me. False. Because God wants to desperately, lavishly pour out his love and mercy and grace and purpose on you, we just need to keep tuning in to know what is that for my life. And so I'm going to keep digging and get more and more, not just for myself, so that I can power through these valleys and help others power through theirs. God wants to work through. Come on, a church? Can you imagine a church that did this? If we just went out into our week this next week and we said, yeah, there's valleys. I'm not going to complain about my valleys at work when everybody else is. Everybody else, what's your valley this week? Oh, you want to know what I'm going through? I'm not saying deny them either. I'm just saying we're going to power through them. We're going to accept them, and then we're going to run into them, and we're going to be like, God, I know. I got my shovel. We can do this. You're going to power me through, and I'm going to show people what you can do and then help others through their valleys. I want to pray today and declare over you that you are not stuck. You are just passing through. God, I just declare over our church and over every person here, everyone watching, everyone who's in here right now, and God, just yes, over our church, Lord, we are not stuck. We're just passing through a valley. There's something more beautiful on the other side. You're waking new things in us, and we thank you for that. Refresh us, God. Give us wisdom and insight on how we can just do some digging. What does that look like? A new way to dig a new well that would allow us to just be refreshed in your presence, to know you're with us, not just believe what the person on stage says, but to know ourselves that God is with us. We hold on to that. I just want to pray for everyone here. I want to invite you to pray with me as we can't do this. You don't have the power or the strength or even the resource to get through this without Jesus. He's the one who provides the sustenance when you dig. And so I want to invite you to pray with me and to say yes to Jesus today. If that's you, would you join all of us as we pray and say, Lord, thank you for your purpose, for what you came and accomplished through the cross, through your death and resurrection. For the new life you started, I step into that now. I say yes to you as the leader of my life. I place my hope and my trust in you. I'm going to take a step in your direction, believing you're coming towards me. Do a good work in me and empower me to head into my valleys completely reliant on you because I know you're with me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't that good? God is doing some good things, digging some new wells.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.